Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
Hi, this is Tony Mowbray, and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Yes, well, it's a retrospective one, is all we can say, Rob.
Yes.
At this particular time, we have Rob Nichols, Chief Executive Officer of Fly Me to the Moon. Same managing editor. Well, I think so. You are.
I like it.
Yeah, I think it works on that basis. Let's start with a positive. Happy birthday, belatedly, Tracy Hyman.
Happy birthday, Tracy.
On Fly Me to the Moon, issue 502's companion podcast, this time a retrospective as far as Burnley is concerned. We'll be finding out why Andrew Glover's got mad. What Marvin Emnes was actually doing in Tyne, a very rare example of a Fly Me to the Moon typo, the year of the lion for 2012, and a whole heap of other things. But we will be talking as well with our ace librarian extraordinaire, the lass who brings a certain je ne sais quoi and happiness to any library she happens to sprinkle with her magical brand of Appleton-esque fairy dust. Yes, referring to the wonderful Jill Appleton. Jill,
hello.
Welcome to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Already, David, of course, Appleton, David Appleton, oh, yes. Your husband, has been very excited to find that his wife is taking part in a programme predominantly talking about football.
Yes, knowing that I know nothing at all about football.
Genius. There we are. And that's why you'll be doing a splendid reading of a poem by John Roberts with Barry Robson's epic goal. Really, sorry, I didn't really do justice to that, should I? Barry Robson's epic goal!
Absolutely.
Well, I want a bit more energy for that.
Yes.
We start with a positive. We'll go to
a negative.
Well, let's say he's moved into supporting Borough from a different place. But shocking news, actually, a very important Borough supporter, who presumably Fly Me to the Moon reader as well, Grant Harrison, passed away.
Sorry,
A few words for Grant. Grantus Harrison, RIP, of course.
Yeah, very, very sad news that Grant passed away in Thailand on his way around the world. A lot of people knew him on the Fly Me to the Moon forum as Grant, as he'd been posting there regularly for 10 years. And basically an awful lot of people who maybe never even seen him had become very good friends of Grant over the years, and followed him when he'd his ups and downs with jobs and what have you. And basically it's been a real shock to the system for so many people because he meant a lot to so many. And I just wanted to put that, write that obituary at the start, because he was very important to Fly Me to the Moon community, and just you know, we're all really saddened. And people have been really sort of stopped in their tracks by his death, actually. But he made such a big contribution, and just wanted to say that, really, that he's much missed by a lot of people that have never actually even met him, which is, you know, something to be said for that.
Absolutely. So we're looking back retrospectively and so on. The Dorman Museum has opened a new Borough exhibition.
It has.
Yes, we'll say that again. A Borough exhibition, not just that, but the best ever Borough exhibition.
Yes.
Because you've had a look at some of these sneak previews. You were very nearly in the article Borough Back from the Brink, page 7 of the current edition of Fly Me to the Moon, issue 502, almost whacked on the back of the head by Bernie Slavin.
With a goalpost from... Yes, from Riverside. It was
Bernie,
Tracy Hyman's,
you can't treat the fans like that. Can't do that. You know, yeah. I mean, we know you were a top player. You know, when you played for the Borough, Buddy Slavin. You know, you sing their praises on other radio stations. Although, curiously, even though Alistair Brownlee has actually done an ident, he's yet to try.
Has he not? Well, of course, he ran across my garden once and jumped on the fence, recreating his goal scoring celebrations at Essen Park, because I live at Essen Park now. And it was the photographer's suggestion for Tracy. What can we do with that post? Well, why don't you pretend to hit Robert over the head? And you could see that that Bernie enjoyed it. You could see from the photograph that he's obviously enjoying it.
And it's not as though when he recreated the run across and the leap to the Holgate, you actually said, "Get off my land."
I didn't. That's right, no.
it was, you know, so never mind. But you would recommend this for football fans?
Yes, it's on till April, so you've got plenty of chance to see it. And the museum's open, it's 6 days a week, isn't it? It is the best ever Borough exhibition, I think. Its starting point is 1986, when the gates were locked, which is horribly similar to the situation that Darlington have fallen into this past month. Middlesbrough were 37 minutes away from going bust, from complete annihilation, liquidation, whatever. Darlington went into extra time, actually. Their supporters club actually knocked on the locked doors and managed to get the administrator into giving them extra time. So it's very poignant from that point of view. But that's the starting point of an exhibition which goes back in time before 1986 and goes forward in time. So we see what we could have lost as a community. But some great stuff in there, some brilliant things from Alf Common's cap, Alf Common, the first £1,000 footballer at the start of the 20th century, to Bernie Slaven's hat-trick balls all in a case. So some really good stuff.
Yeah, fantastic. We will certainly be going there. Who knows, I might do a little location report from it. Jill, have you managed to check out the exhibition? Has David, your husband, been there? I mean, have you got
No, but I'll tell him about that. So I think we'll go down there and have
absolutely,
a look.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have to mention Lukas Jutkiewicz. Because it's such a wonderful name, you know.
Glad you pronounced it, Alex.
Exactly. Well, you know, left Jutkiewicz, you can actually see where we're going. But yes, so not the goal-scoring start perhaps we would have hoped that Lukas would have actually gone for, from all accounts, really, against Burnley.
Well, I wonder if a lot of people took the eye off the ball against Burnley. I'm not. I can't accuse the players of, but maybe, well, I don't know. Because while everyone was queuing outside for Sunderland tickets for the FA Cup, and then Lukas was making his debut, we really had to get on with getting 3 points in the league. Yeah. And we got caught out in the sixth minute by a corner kick routine, which Burnley did to us last season. And I think the manager was absolutely livid with the players because he told them again and again that they do this routine where they knock the ball across, somebody dummies the ball, and then someone takes a shot from the edge of the area. So
that man set pieces again. He scores so many goals, set pieces. He comes in.
He does set pieces. He does. He's almost as many as OG on goal.
Exactly. Exactly.
But it was sad as well because we had an 18-year-old goalkeeper making his debut. It we talked about 1986, and one of the players from 1986 who was one of the stars was Stuart Ripley. It's quite incredible that his son is now playing in goal. Remember, his
makes me feel old.
Well, I remember his
chronologically gifted.
Well, I remember Stuart's father. Who was like a headmaster, Mr. Ripley of Captain Cook Junior School. It didn't seem very long ago to me, and there's his grandson playing in goal for Middlesbrough.
Same scenario where we actually, when I was teaching in the area at Ormsby Comprehensive School, went along with, I think, Derek Richmond, who was the headmaster at the time, and said, come on, Ripley, who's all there, etc. Strange thing. I suppose the best thing we can say about the Burnley game, apart from obviously the joys of Lukas Jutkiewicz. Is he transferred or is he on loan?
Yes, he's transferred. It was an emergency loan that was done just for that game. But it's been a gentleman's agreement that we play in Coventry City. It would have been his second game. The gentleman's agreement would be that he wouldn't play against Coventry City. So he won't be featuring in that game. But yes, he's a permanent Middlesbrough player now. I think we'll see more comings and goings before the end of this month when the transfer window shuts. I was at a press conference last week and Tony Mowbray's phone was absolutely hot. So I think we will see players going and coming. But I think we will hold on to our key assets without a doubt this time because we're you know, looking to get in the promotion race, and we don't want to lose people like Reece Williams or Matthew Bates. So I'll stick my neck out now and say that none of those sort of players will be leaving Middlesbrough.
And as I say, a little positive side from Dave Hearn, a little line which I did take from his review about Burnley. Burnley managed by Eddie. How does he keep his trainers so clean after trotting around on a muddy touchline for an hour and a half? How? And hovering around the middle of the table.
He does look really, really young as well. He looks, you know, he's about 32 or something.
Junior school, really. Amazing. Yeah. Almost like the manager of MK Dons in many ways. It's a whole new generation of folk that's actually up there. Still to come on the show today, as mentioned, Jill Appleton will be reading John Roberts, Barry Robson's epic goal. We'll also be talking very much about when Andrew Glover got mad or got angry, why he gets angry. You know, management counselling.
Anger management.
It helped with Joey Barton. So I'm told. And that very, very rare typo in Fly Me to the Moon. All this and more on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
I wanted to find out from a real solicitor what happens when you let your insurance company look after your car accident claim. So I spoke to Charles Ather of Ather & Co.
Insurance companies make money from selling your claim to their own legal people. If you want solicitors who you can speak to face-to-face, someone who worked to achieve the best possible offer of compensation, you're better off choosing someone you know.
Someone you know? That sounds familiar, Charles.
Choose the one you know, Ather & Co.
Call 01642-222575 or text ADVICE to 81400 now.
507, strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225 grams of magnesium, 3 grams of
magnesium. Hang on! I've got a pen.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you, any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was the recipe?
And that's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
When you suffer a road accident that's not your fault, it's easy to be persuaded to go along with your insurer's recommendations. But I spoke to personal injury expert Charles Ather about that.
In my opinion, phrases like, you have free legal cover with this policy, are meaningless. If the accident wasn't your fault, you've nothing to pay anyway. I think what your insurer may mean is, but we've already sold your claim.
And if I don't want to be sold, can I choose my own solicitor?
Of course. It's your right to choose what's best for you. Choose the one you know,
Abba and Co. Text claim to 81400 now.
I'm Ollie Brownlee, BBC T's Borough commentator, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Thank you, Alistair. Alistair's voice can be heard as a background, as a backdrop to the exhibition at Dome Museum, by the way.
What more could you ask
for?
What
more, indeed.
Exactly. Yeah. Earplugs. No, sorry, only kidding, Alistair. I know. Sometimes, you just don't know. Well, the time has arrived, Rob.
Yes.
When we're ready for Jill Appleton to hopefully do her magic in her own routine.
A professional.
It's going to be an epic goal! I love saying that, etc. Particularly as so we have a Leeds United supporter in the studio.
Lurking.
Mid-table mediocrity. Oh, I can say. Mid-table mediocrity, that's the Keys line from that sort of point of view. Don't worry, actually. A little plug for that, Jericho Keys, and there you go. TYG, certain podcasts will be coming up, including a band that you're familiar with, 3 Foot Ninja.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, also Fiji. But that's training ahead to other excitements and other routines. Jill, are you ready to actually deliver this? Are you ready for the big build-up sorted through?
Yep, I'm ready.
We'll start off with this then.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Barry Robson's epic goal. Scruffy game in a strong southwester, bags blowing about on the field. The fag end of festive cheer. We're held together as a rare big crowd, though thinking of nil-nil and home. Robson on the right, a routine sight. Moves infield to swing his left boot. Don't know if it's a cross or what. For a suspended second, it's silent. For once, we can't see the ball. But see Galaxy stretching left arm, hand and glove. Then the net shakes. Now we know what arc it took. Braveheart Barry has bludgeoned the ball beyond belief. To defy the wind and the rubbish and intoxicate us as the sustained sound of a crowd released. Cascades and swirls in a communal celebration. The transcendent moment is not for Christmas, it's to keep for life.
quite simply a wondrous moment. In fact, I'm almost tempted to say, it's wow, you know.
Did you get the atmosphere?
Epic! Oh, wonderful. Yes. And strangely, making slightly more sense than some of the other poems we've actually read out every so often. No names, because we love our surrealist poetry contributions. And actually, if you're into surrealist poetry contributions, etc., don't forget, Barrett always bounces back. We've already put that up online, and it's been decoded and deconstructed, so it's all great stuff on that particular point of view.
Right.
Sir Rob, would you like to go for Marvellous Marvin Emnes? Would you like to find out how Andrew Glover is getting a bit angry? Or would you like to go straight for the typo issue?
You've got to put me out of my misery.
Strangely enough, it is in Marvellous Marvin Emnes.
Oh, is it? Right.
Because as I actually turn through that and I see a photograph of Marvin pictured with an off OFF filed Burroughs Star, OFLED. Are we talking about an off-filed or off-field here? Or is it literally Diane O'Connell effectively not necessarily wanting to be filed at all? So she's certainly not off there. I mean, you might well say, no, that's completely right. It's not off-field. It's supposed to be off-filed in any way, shape or form. But is
it's really badly written, that, isn't it? With an off-filed Burroughs Star. Yes, off-filed. Not filed. No one would file Diane O'Connell.
Some might like to, many have tried. But woe to those who've actually worked through. Actually, we need to feature Diane on one of these shows, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Work our way through that. Anyway, moving on, Marvin Emnes, looking very cool there, I have to say. He's got his little hat on, he's giving you the OK sign in the MFC store.
That's right.
What's not to love? Is he a happy bunny? I mean, does he think, if only I stayed at Swansea, I could have been with Leroy Lita and Danny Graham, and I could have been part of that side that's doing very well these days, beating Arsenal and such like? Or is he thinking, no, I'm in my right place?
He's enjoying himself. He's enjoying life, because a couple of years ago, he was like in the wilderness. It was when Gordon Strachan was here. He was out so far out of the picture.
I can't believe he mentioned that name again.
I should not have done. But he was so far out of the picture for a couple of years at Middlesbrough. He was just a forgotten man, and he was. We loaned him out to a German club who sent him back again, and now he's back fulfilling the sort of promise they had, where he was the most. He was supposed to be the most promising young player in Dutch football, which is saying a lot.
Yeah, do you think his time under Brendan Rodgers at Swansea actually helps, because the sort of football they play seem to have had an impact? Obviously.
Well, for instance, he said he was brought up in Holland, where they play a strict system where they have three players up front, and Swansea played exactly the same system, so he was really very familiar with it. So it helped him sort of find his footing in a way that he never really did in our football at Middlesbrough. So it gave him a lot of confidence scoring goals, and Swansea wanted him, and he came back to Middlesbrough and found another manager in Tony Mowbray that really wanted him. And he's made a big impact, a big scoring impact. And
just the very magic of Marvin actually.
The magic of Marvin.
Mobile phones saying, oh, can we go for it, whole thing? It's Jill, it's marvellous. A little twinkle scenario there.
It was Stardust.
It's probably Jill's husband saying, are you still on the Football Waste show? Yeah, she is. So marvellous.
It was the Cinderella routine.
Cinderella routine.
From the umbrella.
In every sense of the word. So Andrew Glover, who indirectly was directly responsible for being... launching this whole sort of a happy association.
That's right.
Broadcasting
the podcast.
Flying to the Moon, the podcast.
Now a journalist.
Angry. Yeah, exactly. A little bit angry. Graduate of the University of Teesside in journalism, not unlike Jericho Keys, of course. So who knows?
Right, yeah.
Could be sort of paving the way. Andrew Glover could be Jericho Keys tomorrow, or vice versa. But in brief news, he's not had writer reply, has he? I'm sure he will get writer reply, but then he finds it so difficult. He has to reveal, as a Leeds United passionate fan, even being part of the show, you know,
he can't bring himself to say, come on, Burr, up the Burr.
It's like, you know, yeah, just
he draws the line
clearly. Nice to see, of course, that you give a usual mention to Manchester City, with, of course, Adam Johnson giving a full sort of plug in the programme as well for that. Hats off to that. But Andrew Glover, I'm an angry man at the best of times, not just in January either, although I do find it to be a fairly angry month all round. I get angry at work, I hate driving, and there's always some burk on the telly winding me up. I'm usually at my calmest at the match. Didn't used to be the case, but I've matured as a spectator, and my most tranquil moments are at the riverside or on the road. There is a but, though, dear readers. There's always a but. I get angry at the match at people who are getting angry before there's any need to.
Yes.
So, just a case of, you know, people getting a bit upset needlessly. Surely Shrewsbury, which led to the FA Cup draw against Sunderland, which we haven't mentioned, but we'll mention again briefly.
Andrew Glover has a key part to play in Sunderland.
Yes.
He's one of the controversial 60, probably. I don't know whether you know about this.
Go on, share with the controversial 60.
There was a lot of arguments about the queues that were forming last weekend, and one a lady called Julie bought 60 tickets, and she had 60 season tickets, and I imagine Andrew was one of those 60. But the argument being that she takes a coach to every single game away from home, and so those 60 people, rather than queuing themselves,
it's not like somebody who specialises in insolvency payments spending about £80,000 on tickets for the Olympic Games and saying, "They're all mine. I'm not going to work for them.
And she's not a tout or anything. Yeah. These people go at the match, but it was a bit of a. It was a bit of a controversial moment that a lot of people were asking to.
60.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously it makes the queue a lot shorter, and people can buy online as well. It's a weird thing.
Because that whole thing is quite interesting. I mean, I remember the days where when you had a big cup match,
yes,
you would have the queue literally going all the way down Ayresome Street into Linthorpe Road. Potentially it could go quite around the block and various other things.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
There were instances where that was the case.
That's right. This queue was the longest we've had for a long time.
And yet there is the online option.
Yeah. It's like queuing for a bus, isn't it, in a way? If you can see that bus coming, and you can see the end of the queue coming, but you're online, you're never quite sure where you are.
Very true. It's very true. Maybe we actually need to work through that whole system there. We'll talk about Sunderland, I think, after we've beaten them.
Definitely. Leave that, yes.
A 3-1 perspective. But whilst we're looking at good football matches, if you're not doing anything on February the 29th, and why would you be, apart from leaping to another new year, you would clearly want to actually be at the Riverside to see the England under-21s. Even Leeds United fans should be there.
Definitely.
Why should they actually purchase their tickets to actually see England under-21 at the Riverside on the 29th of February?
The 29th, Wednesday 29th, 6 o'clock kick-off, so the kids can get there, and it's very cheap to get in, and you will have seen the stars of the future. The last time the under-21s came to Middlesbrough, they played two games, and I remember the likes of Ashley Cole, David Dunn, Luke Young. All the first sight you get of them is with an England under-21 shirt, and you've got to support your country. It's not very often we get this opportunity. Please come along, Stuart Pearce's England. And also, if we win that game, we could qualify for the European Championship. So it's not like a friendly. There's a big game. There's a lot riding on it. And then there are rumours that there might be an Olympic game if we impress. There might be an Olympic game in Middlesbrough if we impress.
Yeah, obviously, all very important. How do people subscribe to the paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon
Glad
and the online thing if they wish to?
Go to the website www.fmttm.com and look for subscribe, and it might have information. I'll have to update that. or email me at robshrug@gmail.com. That's probably the best way. Or write to me at Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Brentnell Street, Middlesbrough, TS15, A for Apple, P for Pear.
Jill Appleton presumably is so excited by the exhibition at the Dorman Museum, she's actually gone off to see it. No, she's back. She's sorted through for that point of view. Because obviously, Rob, you know, we're not going to have any challenges with respect to Jill as we've had with other Leeds United supporting fans.
No.
Sorry.
None of that
even Newcastle United supporting fans, we managed to at least get them to say, you know, this particular.
That's right,
etc. Seven words that have been echoed by the likes of Derek Thompson, amongst others, etc., that wrap up the whole sequence for this particular one, Jill. Rob will actually give you a bit of coaching now in terms of what's needed. And remember, the Appleton family, no pressure here, obviously relying on you to actually get this whole message across as we wrap up the companion podcast to Fly Me to the Moon, the Burnley game, issue 502. Next game, of course, issue 503 will be...
I've forgotten.
I know.
What is it?
Fingers on the bar. Do you know, the fixture list has just emerged and it's just sort of vanished in its whole routine. You see,
February
we're so excited. Yes, we're...
Who do we play on February the 4th?
We'll be talking about it. We'll be talking about other trips and other scenarios before then, etc. It will be, simply, that's it, it will be. But anyway, those last seven words as we wrap up Fly Me to the Moon podcast. Over to you, Rob Nichols and Jill Appleton.
Come on, Borough. Up the Borough.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.